See us all here in the house this morning. Great to have Phil and Jen back with us. They're only back from Belarus. So great to have them back here this morning in the house. And God is good. You know, Jimmy mentioned about stories, and I love stories, and I love to hear stories, and I love to hear testimonies. And this morning we have a woman in the house that I'm going to call. I'm going to ask her just one or two questions. I'm going to ask her just to share about how she came to know Jesus. And that's the lovely Caroline Rafferty. Come on up, Caroline. Amen. 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 You know what? This is a great woman. And Caroline, you're with us now several months. And, you know, it's great that we have you here in the house. But you know what? Not everybody knows you, you know. And the question I want to ask you is, how did you come to know Jesus?
I came to know Jesus through my brother Jason Rafferty. He would have had a drug addiction. So our family, well, as a kid, my family would have been fairly dysfunctional. So I would have had a lot of hurts. So I seen something different in Jason. So I knew, like, I want what he has. So there, about 10 or 12 years ago, I went to Liberty in Rialto. And I was stepping in and out once in the blue moon, and I was like, they're all weirdos. But anyway, about nearly 6 years ago, I'm walking with the Lord Salah. So that's when I really started changing, and I handed my heart over to God. And from there, my life is just transformed. And people who are not Christians in my family, they see a difference. You know, my younger sister, my ma was telling me when I came in from Oak Digital tonight that her and my ma and Jason was praying for her, and she's saying, stop pushing me, which is the Holy Spirit. But it's absolutely amazing.
Amen. Amen. And Caroline. Amen. You said you found Jesus 6 years ago. So what's kept you?
He's the lover of my soul, and I'll never let him go. It's like, there's no relationship like it. No person can do what God can do. They can't fulfill you. People will let you down, disappoint you, like I will with people, but God won't.
Amen. Amen. What an answer. That's a great answer. Amen. And Caroline, just to ask you, what are you passionate about in the house of God?
I'd be passionate about the youth. And then my job as well, I work as a healthcare assistant. So I am the hands and feet of Jesus. So he's constantly changing me. He has to, because I wouldn't be able to do it on my own strength. There's not a chance with the job I do. Like, if someone had said to me 2 years ago that I'd be a healthcare assistant, I would have been saying, there's not a chance of that happening. Me? No. But you just don't know where God will bring you. And, it's amazing. And then mission trips as well. I was in Belarus about 7 or 8 times. I've been in Africa and Zimbabwe for 3 months, and I love mission trips. So you'd never know where God will take me. Yeah.
Amen. And just one last question. What would you say to somebody here today if they didn't know Jesus? What would you say to them?
Surrender your heart to them. That's it.
Amen. 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 You know what? Caroline has taken over the youth in this house. Yeah, thanks, Shar. In this house, but she's also going to be doing some work up in Clondalkin as well. And we have a team coming in from the States next month. And I know, Caroline, you're going to be looking for some volunteers in the house to help you out. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a soccer camp, but you don't have to have soccer skills. You can have skills in different sports or whatever, but we're looking for volunteers. The more volunteers, because then there'll be different age brackets of kids, the more kids we can take in. And the aim is for the kids to give their heart to Jesus. So.
And you know what? I heard she's a brutal footballer.
I'm better than your husband.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Caroline. Amen. And you know, without further ado, we've another gentleman in the house. And you know what? I love this guy. I love his heart. I love his realness. He's not perfect, but you know what? He's real. And will you give it up, please, for Jason O'Sullivan.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. I'll throw it up here. Amen. What a great morning. You know what I was saying to Stephen, we could just stay in that, couldn't we? We could have just stayed in that. I was ready to just put away my iPod and just sit there in the presence of God, because it was just amazing, you know. But God has not finished yet. God has not finished yet. And let me tell you something. With the atmosphere that's in this place here today, anything can happen. I believe absolutely anything can happen here this morning. Anything. So guys, I'm going to get through this, right? It's 12:15, right? I'm going to get through this, but stick with me and stay with me, yeah? Right? Stick with me and stay with me. But this is a message that I believe can change your life. This is a message that changed my life. This is a message that took a person that was broken, and that still is broken in some ways. Because if you think you're not broken in some ways, you have no need for Jesus. But when you realize that you have a brokenness in you, you can just lean on him all the time, and you know he's with you. But this is a message that it took a person that was broken, that felt alone, that was far from God, that was in trouble up to his eyeballs, charges up to here, drug addiction up to here, physically, mentally, and spiritually broken. But this message was a message that changed my life. It actually rocked my life and turned it inside out. And that's for everybody. You know, you mightn't have gone through what I've gone through, but I know you're going through something. And this message can do the same for you in your situation that as it did for me and mine. Can you hear the Holy Spirit in me? Amen. Amen. The message I'm going to preach today, I'll put a name in it. It's called Grace Has Got You Covered. Grace Has Got You Covered. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God. Father, I pray that the eyes of our heart be open this morning, oh God. You know, Sharon said that when someone got it from, I think it was Sharon who said it, when the person got it from my head and realized it in her heart, everything changed. That's why I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come this morning and open the eyes of our heart. Not these eyes, spiritual eyes. Boom, get them open. Because when they're opened, you can see the kingdom. Truth is, you can see creation, yeah. But see, when the eyes of your heart is open, you see the kingdom. Father, I pray that the eyes of our heart be open this morning. I pray that God is made known, Jesus is glorified, and the Holy Spirit is manifested. Father, I pray that your word and your will be accomplished here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me just take this off. Grace has got you covered. You know, the word grace, what is grace? Ask yourself, what is grace? We hear the word grace a lot around church, but what does it really mean? What does the word grace really mean? The definition of grace is, the word grace means unmerited favor, something given to you that you did not earn or deserve. The word grace means something given to you that you did not earn or deserve. But grace is much more than that. This is my interpretation of grace. Grace is the freely given empowerment of God to live this amazing life he has given you. Grace is the empowerment of God that he has given you to live this amazing life. Grace was released to us at the completion of the cross. When Jesus said it was finished, he gave up his spirit, the veil in the temple torn in two, and the oil of heaven was released in a new empowering way. Do you get that, guys? When Jesus said it was finished, the oil of heaven, the veil tore, and there was an oil released from heaven, there was a grace released from heaven, and it was a new empowering grace. which is given to us by revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's why I ask that the eyes of our heart be opened, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us revelation. You know, I had a picture, and think of a tightrope walker, and he's walking along the tightrope, and he has a big net underneath him. Well, imagine the tightrope is the will of God, and imagine that the net underneath him is the grace of God. And when we're walking in the will of God, sometimes we fall out of the will of God, but we come down into this net, and it's like that net is like the grace of God, boom, bringing us back up into the will of God. So anytime you fall out of the will of God, there's a grace to bring you back into the will of God. You get me? You get me? So when you fall off that tightrope, symbolically this tightrope is the will of God. So you're walking along, you're walking with Jesus, everything's doing great. Next of all, boom, you're knocked out of the way. You're knocked off this tightrope. Bang, you hit the net. But that net is grace. Boom, brings you back up, back into the will of God. Just imagine that's your life. You're walking along this tightrope with Jesus. Because, listen, walking with Jesus has many avenues, and it has many trials and has many tribulations, and it has, but it's great and it's brilliant. And Jesus wants you to walk that with him. But when you fall off that, there's a grace that brings you back up into it. There's a grace that brings you back up into it. When you fall off, I want you to remember this morning, when you fall out of the will of God or something happens, just remember that net that's under you. That net brings you back up into the will of God. Whoosh, whoosh, brings you back up. That's grace. That's something that's been given to you that you didn't earn. See, Jesus accomplished that for you. You see, there's a difference between law and grace. The law requires, but grace enables. Do you get that? The law requires, but grace enables. You see, in the Old Testament, you were commanded to do this, 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 and this to receive grace. That's the law. The law requires you to be holy, but grace makes you holy. Huh? What about that? The law requires you to be holy, but grace makes you holy. But grace brings you together in relationship through faith with God to empower you to be the person He created you to be. Notice that grace is accessed by faith. Grace is accessed by faith. For it is by grace you have been saved. True faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast. Faith is like this. Faith is the currency of heaven. So when you walk into a shop, the way is when you walk into a shop and you're paying for your shopping, you walk up to the till, you give the woman the money, you pay for your goods, and you get them. That's what it's like with heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. If you want something from heaven, it's by faith that you access it. You access it by faith. Just like walking into a shop with £20 in your pocket to buy something. If you want to get something from heaven, you access heaven, you take it by faith, and it's given to you by grace. Do you get it, church? Do you get it? He's with me. Yeah? Amen. Listen to this story. One night a house caught fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling his son. Jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. As can be imagined. He was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, jump, I will catch you. But the boy protested, Daddy, I can't see you. The father replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. The Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death, not because what we can see, but with the certainty that we are seeing. We are seeing, church. Your problems, whatever's in your life, your problems, you might be blurred by anxiety or fear or whatever's going on in your life, but I want you to know this morning, church, it doesn't matter if you can't see God, He can see you. And that's all that matters. He can see you. Know that we are all, we are certain that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known. This is the great grace that is given to us through faith. If God has saved you by grace, Jesus has already paid for the grace to live the rest of your life out in grace. Faith summonses the grace of God into your life. Just like I was talking about when you go into a shop and you pay for something, you get something in return. That's what faith does in the heavenlies. You access something from God by faith. It's given to you by grace. Faith is your currency. Faith is your currency. If you need a miracle, there's grace for it. If you need restoration of a relationship, there's grace for it. If you need healing, there's grace for it. If you need finances, there's grace for it. If you need a job, there's grace for it. No matter what you need, there's a grace for it. Are you with me, church? There's a grace for whatever you need. And it's already being paid for. You just have to access it by faith. You just have to reach out and grab it. It's like, Jesus, I'm in bits, I need you. Bang, you're summoning the grace of God. That's how easy it is, church. Jesus, I need you. Bang, the grace comes. You just have to ask him. It's access through faith, and the grace comes. But here's the key to summoning the grace of God. Faith. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it now has been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. The Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, for which ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Paul says, there's a grace given to me for you. You know, you have a grace in your life for someone else. Did you know that there's a grace on you to pray people into the kingdom? Did you know that? Jesus saves, but your prayers will get them saved. Let me tell you, the other day, this church, by the way, I want to tell you about the grace of God. I've seen the grace of God work in my life in the last 6 years that I could be speaking here for the next 20. But over the last while, I've seen the grace of God. I've seen God's grace and mercy come like a rushing wind. I had an uncle of mine come in to me in the garage about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he was talking to the lads. And the next day, he didn't feel well, and he went to the hospital to find out that he had leukemia. That was 5 weeks ago. They said it was treatable, all that. Last Wednesday, my dad got called up to the hospital, him thinking that they were going to tell him that the treatment was working. When he went into the meeting last Wednesday, they told him that his brother only had a week to live. That was on Wednesday. On Thursday, on that Wednesday, I sent out texts to the church and I asked the church to pray for. On Thursday, myself and Adele went up to the hospital. We went in and sat down with them. And, you know, I have a big family, and anytime anything happens, everybody gets together. And but that was my worry, that everybody was going to be there, because I wanted to get a chance to speak to them and to tell them about Jesus. So on the way up, I was praying. I said, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to speak to him? I arrived at the hospital, and I'm not joking you, there wasn't one person there. And that's unbelievable in my family. There wasn't one person there. I walked in, I was looking around for them. I said, Swadell, there's nobody here. We went in and sat down, and we started talking. Adele was sitting in the corner, and she's praying. I could see that she was praying. And I started talking to him. And I asked him, and I said to him, his name was Ivan. I said, Ivan, you know we love you. That we love you very much, and we love you that much that we want you to go to the best place you can be. And he said, yeah. I told him about Jesus. I told him about what he'd done on the cross and the grace that was afforded to him. There and then, he asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. That's grace, guys. That's grace. That was on Thursday. On Sunday morning, I'm coming across the M50. I got a text to say that he was going to be with the Lord. Going to be with the Lord. But guys, that's grace. God gives grace freely. It's the grace of God that saves. But it's true faith. He had to ask Jesus to save him. He had to ask Jesus into his heart. That faith accessed heaven and retrieved grace. And therefore, he's now in heaven. Isn't that amazing stuff? Amen. That's amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Did you know there's a grace on some of you for salvation? Hence the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. A grace has been given for each of these gifts. And I believe with all my heart that the fivefold ministry is at work in this place. There's people here in this place, they don't even know they're moving in it. It's at work here all the time. It's at work here all the time. There's a grace in this place for the fivefold ministry. Did you know some of you have a grace for someone else's healing? Like Paul says, the grace that was given to me for you. Why does God give you something of the kingdom? To give it away. Don't hold on to it. Give it away. Because the more you, when God gives you, give it away, because the more you just keep giving it to you. Did you know there's a grace on some of you for someone's deliverance and setting free? Did you know some of you have a grace for listening to someone's heartache and bringing them through it? Some of you have a great grace for listening to people, walking them through stuff and walking them out the other side. This is a great church for that, for walking people through stuff and walking them out the other side. Did you know there's an amazing grace for sin and a sinful world? Jesus came, it says he was full of grace and truth. Jesus loves this world. He loves the sinful world. Sometimes people say, oh, he's this, he's that, or she's this, she's that. But let me tell you, Jesus loves her. Jesus loves him. All the more. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the broken. He didn't come for those who need like religious beliefs and all this sort of stuff. He came for those who are broken. He came for those who are sick. And if there's any of us here today that need anything, there's a grace for it. And don't leave here today without it. The scripture says the law was brought in so that sin might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Do you get that? The law was brought in so that sin increased. But grace came, and it increased all the more. Did you know that grace has a voice? A voice that says it will be okay. That voice of grace that says I will never leave you. That voice of grace that says I will restore you. That voice of grace that says I will save you and set you free. Church, I believe that some people are going to be saved and set free this morning. I really believe that. You see, the law never restored anybody. Only the oil of grace can do that. The Bible says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, it's the grace of Jesus that restores all things and holds all things together. I was talking to some people over the last while. I was only talking to Pastor Noel about this. Someone come up to me and he says to me, you know the way you're a recovering addict? And I says, no. And he says, but you were on heroin and crack for 20 odd years. I says, that's right. He says, but you know the way you're a recovering addict? I says, no. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, I'm a recovering addict. I says, are you born again? He says, yeah. I says, well, then you're not. He says, what do you mean? I says, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that the old is gone, the new is here. Amen. I'm not an addict. I was. But because of what Jesus done, the grace he afforded me, I'm no longer that person. I'm brand spanking new. I think I'm about 6.5 years of age. I mean, that's what I think I am. 2010, Christmas Eve 2010. But you see, it's the grace of God that restores all things and holds all things together. If I was to try and stay clean or try and stay off drugs, I can guarantee I'll be back on them. But because I know the grace that was afforded to me, I'm living out of that place. No, Jesus is in control. Jesus restored me. Jesus is holding me together. If I try to hold myself together, I'm going to end up in a heap. You'll be carrying me up that stairs every week. But because of the grace that was afforded to me, I understand that it's Jesus that holds all things together. It's Jesus that's keeping me clean. It's Jesus that's keeping me mind sane. But when I go back into my old life, or step back into my old self, I try to work things out and it goes pear-shaped. But see, when I step back into the place of, no, I'm a new creation, I'm born again. You know? And some people say, you're born again. Yes, I'm born again. I wasn't born yesterday, but I'm born again. But you get it. It's grace that holds all things together. It's grace that sets you free. It's grace that keeps you going. It's by grace everything happens. Everything happens by grace. It's like someone says to me, one day, you're up there preaching and this, that, and the other, and all. You're saying about Jesus and all that. You've done this, 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 and this, and this. I says, you know what? You don't know me. He says, yeah, I do. I know you 20 years. He says, you don't, because see all them things you said? I was worse than that. I says, but because of what Jesus done, I'm not like that anymore. Amen. Yeah. That's grace. That's grace. That's the grace we're talking about. One of the best biblical illustrations of law and grace is the woman dragged out, the woman that was caught in adultery. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Law and grace. She was dragged out. She was caught in adultery. Under Mosaic law, at the time, under Mosaic law, she was to be stoned to death. All the Pharisees and the scribes and all the religious people that have it all together, all the holy people, right? They have it all together. They drag her out and they say, we're going to stone her. They're all standing there with rocks in their hands because of what she's done. She'd sinned. So for sin, the penalty was death. But Jesus comes on the scene. And he walks in. And he says, let he without sin cast the first stone. Everybody dropped the rocks. Boom, boom, boom. At that moment, they knew they were all sinners. Jesus goes over and he bends down to the woman and he says to her, picks her up and he says, go and sin no more. That's grace. That's grace. Not only did he restore her, he educated her. But you see, the people of the law wanted to kill her. Grace restored. Grace restored. Finishing on this, when Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town, he was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. Graham admitted his guilt, but was told by the officer that he would have to appear in court. The judge asked, guilty or not guilty? When Graham pleaded guilty, the judge replied, That'll be $10, a dollar for every mile you went over the limit. Suddenly the judge recognized the famous minister. You had violated the law, he said. The fine must be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you. He took out a $10 bill from his own wallet, attached it to the fine, and then he took Graham out and bought him a steak dinner. That, said Billy Graham, is how God treats us with his amazing grace. Billy Graham was caught breaking the law, just like that woman with the that was caught breaking the law, that was dragged out from adultery. But what happened? Jesus afforded grace. And the same grace that was afforded to that woman was afforded to Billy Graham when he was in court. You see, the bill is being paid. The bill is being paid. Jesus paid the bill. It's up to you to accept it. The will of God, the tightrope, you're walking along it. Life hits you, or something happens, boom, you're knocked off it. Down. What's underneath your grace? Boom, back up into the will of God. Fall off, boom, back up into the will of God. And this morning, there's grace for everybody. Let me tell you, this place is full of grace. It's full of it. How do you access it? Amen, amen. By faith. It's the currency of heaven. And the greatest, I can't leave here this morning. If I could have the worship team back, be around. Amen. Amen. Come on, Dev. Amen. 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 We've heard what grace is. Hopefully, it's being received into our hearts and not into our heads. Because when you get stuff of the kingdom in your heart, that's a place where it can't be robbed. Robbers can't steal it. Moths can't rot it. You can't get into that stuff. It's in your heart. I was saved by grace. I'm up in Mount Joy, 13 months after I got saved. I'm walking down the landing in the morning. This is for something I got charged for before I became a Christian. I'm walking down the landing, and a fella comes up to me. He says, "Where's your God now? I thought he set you free." I says, "He did, bro. In here. In here." I was the one that was walking down the landing in the morning, whistling away. I was walking down one day. I was speaking in tongues. I was praying over all the landings of Mount Joy. One of my mates says to the other fella, "Where's Jay?" "He's over there talking to himself. He's gone off his head." "He's gone off his head. That wacky Bible stuff. Gone off his head." But little did they know I was praying for them. I was praying for their freedom. I wanted them to experience the grace that was given to me. You see, that grace that was given to me lifted me above the walls of Mount Joy. I could see over them. They were like, "Where's your God now?" But I could see over the walls of Mount Joy. I was free in here. Lock me up in a 10x4. Yeah. I'm rightly so for what I've done. But in here, Jesus had set me free. That's grace. That's grace. You can't buy that stuff. You can't buy that stuff. The greatest outpouring of grace ever. Jesus is dying. Sorry, he's put on the cross. He's crucified. He's on the cross. There's two criminals either side of him. One of them was jeering him. One of them acknowledged who he was. The one that acknowledged who he was, he turned around and he says to him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." He done nothing to earn that grace. He done nothing to earn that grace. It was freely given. It was unmerited favor. And today, I want to say to you that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Jesus, today, give him your heart. You get that freedom that I'm talking about. It's nearly like your heart gets wings. It's given a freedom. It's when Jesus comes into your heart and he sets you free in here. You see, that stuff can't be robbed. When you try to stay free yourself, you'll never do it. But when you're set free in here by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you have it forever. It's an imperishable seed, the Bible says. The kingdom of God comes and lives within you. There's nothing better. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if there's anybody here this morning that would like that grace afforded to them, the grace that Jesus accomplished on the cross, let me tell you, he died for you so that you could live. His body was broken so that you could be fixed. And if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know this great Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip up your hand. Don't leave here, because you'll be kicking yourself going home. Just slip your hand up. If you want to know this great Jesus, just slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. And church, I want to finish off this meeting by saying this. There's a grace here today for absolutely everything. There's a grace being afforded to you because of what Jesus done on the cross. That grace is the grace that heals. It's the grace that comforts. It's the grace that loves. It's the grace that speaks and says, I'll never leave you. It's the grace that says, I love you. It's the grace that says, I have a plan for your life. And church, we're going to go into a song of worship. And as we're worshiping church, as Sharon said, if you feel like there's something stuck to you, like them sticky bikes, or if you're broken or your heart is hurting, or whether it's insecurities or fears or your mind, there's a grace here today, afforded to you. All you have to do is reach out and take it. So as we're worshiping, if we can all stand, please. Amen. Amen. Yes, oh God. Church, don't leave this morning if you need something from God, because you have the currency. You have faith. It might be faith the size of a mustard seed, but that's big enough, because the Bible says it can move mountains. So as we're worshiping in the song, if you need prayer, if you need us to stand with you in the gap, if you need us to pray with you and release a grace that heals and restores, come forward. Don't leave here with it. Don't leave here with it. Let's worship.